What a wonderful opportunity it is to serve God. To be a servant of Jesus Christ is an humble thing, but it's a mighty and noble thing too. Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. The following sermon is entitled, Servants of Jesus Christ. This preacher went to home and have dinner with these people, and he had his son with him. And the people marveled that this preacher's kid didn't say the blessing before he just started eating. And they even said something to the pastor about it. They said, Johnny didn't say the blessing before he started eating. And before the preacher could say anything, his son spoke up and he said, well, the Bible said, blessed is it going in, blessed is it coming out. So I reckon he had a good answer for it. Now, the Bible talks a lot about sonship. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And for years, the teaching in the Bible, it was always there, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we've had these blessings laid up. We've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. We raised up together with Him, and He calls us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And it's such a wonderful blessing. We have this relationship with God, and we're not just bound to this earth down here, that we are seated positionally. We're seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ right now. We haven't gotten to heaven yet, but positionally, we're there with Jesus. He has already blessed us. He has already made us accepted in the Beloved. He has already lifted us up into heavenly places. And positionally, there with Christ we are right now in His presence. And one day we'll be with Him all the way in His presence, body, soul, and spirit, a glorified body, of course. And we think so much about this relationship, sonship, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Well, I want to talk about the other side a little bit. Servants of Jesus Christ. Sonship does not negate or do away with servanthood. Servanthood is missing so much in the body of Christ today. It's important that the church needs to know we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Bible says from now on, I do not simply call you servants. That's Jesus. He tells His disciples in John 15:13, but I have called you friends. You are no more a servant, but a son, exclaims Paul in Galatians 4:7. If you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. We are even referred to as joint heirs with Jesus, joint heirs with Christ. That means that everything Jesus owns, we get in on it by being partakers with Him as members of the family, having a relationship with Father God. It's a wonderful thing that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. We need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. The book of the Revelation even says that He has made us kings and priests unto our God. This preaching and teaching of the new creation in Christ is definitely what our generation needs to hear and know. However, we cannot allow the grand doctrine of sonship to cover up the glorious and humble honor of serving God. It's a wonderful opportunity to serve God. And in the time that we live, where there's so much spoken against slavery and servanthood, and we know that slavery in that way is wrong, but we cannot allow that to take us away from serving God. Another danger, and perhaps even a pitfall, is something which the church has done. Because of so much self-maintenance and internal bustle and ministry activity, we have allowed servanthood to be replaced with servitude. There's a difference between servanthood and servitude. Servanthood is good. By love, we should serve one another, the scripture says. But servitude is bad. Servitude puts you under oppression. Servitude puts you under a burden. God never meant for the ministry to be a burden. Now, there are burdens in the ministry. We have burdens for loss. We have burdens for the sick. We have burdens for our nation in that way. But God never meant the ministry to be a burden. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He never said, go into all the world and carry a heavy load. He said, not carry a heavy load, go set the captive free. Preach the gospel. Teach them all things that I've told you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Preach the gospel. Let the signs follow the believers. Speak with new tongues. Cast out the devil. Be protected from evil things. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's not servitude, but it's certainly servanthood. This is probably unintentional, that which the church has done, but it has resulted because a few people have had to do a whole lot of work. Speaking of work, do you remember when you were able to work? What was so important to you that you did on a daily basis? You say, well, I had to do a good job. I wanted to do a good job. Well, that was important too, but there's something else. What was just even more simple than doing a good job? What was so important to you that you had to do on a daily basis? Answer, showing up. That's right, just showing up. You may not have been able to do much, but your commitment to your work and the faithfulness of simply showing up every day is something that is missing so much in today's generation. People just don't have the guts, they don't have the gumption or whatever just to show up. Let's look at a few verses, about 8 Bible verses, which keep intact the high, holy, and noble calling of sonship and even apostleship without losing the concept of being the servants of Jesus Christ. The first verse is Romans 1:1. It's Paul, of course. He says, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul introduces himself as an apostle, someone who's separated to the gospel, someone who is called to preach, but he said, I'm a servant. Even though he was an apostle, Paul first introduces himself as the servant of Jesus Christ. It's not a bad thing to be called a servant of Jesus Christ. Doulos is the Greek word that's most of the time used for servant. It's not a bad thing to be called a servant. I know it's not popular in today's vocabulary. I know it's not politically correct to start talking about serving, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to serve God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. You'll notice in this verse that the servants are mentioned along with bishops and deacons. A bishop or a deacon may be a title, but a servant of God is what you do. It doesn't matter what the title is. It doesn't matter what the office is. Are we serving God? Are we being a servant of Jesus Christ? Does it offend you when you look at one side, you're saying, I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High God. I'm dominion in Christ. We lost it in Adam, but in Christ we gained that dominion. We are to be expected to walk in dominion. But that still does not take away the fact. How are we going to walk in dominion? We can't go around walking and pushing everybody around. That's not the way you do it. You do it by serving. Serving. And servant is mentioned along with bishops and deacons. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Paul said, I want you to know I'm praying for you, but I want you to know that I have served God with pure conscience, even from my forefathers. Paul did his best to keep the law. He thought he was doing good. He thought he was pleasing God, even when he was persecuting Christ, persecuting the church. Who are you, Lord? He said to the Lord on the road to Damascus. Jesus said, I'm Jesus Christ whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He thought he was pleasing God. He was doing his best to be a Pharisee, doing his best to keep the law, but he was going against God as hard as he could go, trying to put Christians to death, trying to put them in jail. He was doing his best, but he was also doing his worst. And now he's a servant of God. It's no wonder that once he got saved and came to know the Lord, he went out, all out to serve him with all his heart. That's what Paul did. And there's no turning back now. Once you come to Christ, you realize what a fool you've been. The song said, what kind of fool do you think I am? Well, what kind of fool do you know I am? I've been a fool. I've been away from God. I've been a stranger in a lost land. But now I've come to the Lord. Now I know what it is to know Christ. I know what it is to be right with God. I know what it is to serve the Lord. And Paul did his best to serve God. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. The truth of being an apostle of Jesus Christ did not overshadow the fact that he was also a servant of God. Our title does not exempt us from our service. Our title may have a name or position with it, but it doesn't take away our service. Our service to God is more important than our title. Neither does our title give us the right to expect others to serve us. So many preachers, so many reverends, they call them. There's not but one reverend, by the way. The Bible says his name is holy. Holy and reverend is his name. He's the only real reverend. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the precious and blessed Holy Ghost. He is the Holy One. We cannot expect people to serve us just because we have a title. Rather, we should even the more endeavor to serve them. Jesus said that he who would seek to be served must first serve others. If you desire to be the first of all, then you should be a servant to all. You know that the Gentiles, they have rule over each other. They put each other under servitude, but it shall not be so among you. He will be first, would be your brother. He would be your servant of all. And the King of glory condescends to men of low degree. He humbles himself and becomes obedient. Found in fashion as a man, he becomes obedient unto the death of the cross. He rises from supper table, lays aside his garments, takes a towel and puts it around himself, fills a basin with water, stoops down and begins to wash the apostles' feet, the disciples' feet. Comes to Peter, and Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet." He had to straighten Peter out. "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you'll know later." "No, I don't want you to wash my feet. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." "Well, in that case, don't wash just my feet, but my hands and head." Jesus said, "No, that's all right. If you have a heart to let me wash your feet, you're clean all over. You don't realize what I'm doing to you now." He takes the towel off, puts his garments back on, and sits down and said, "Don't you realize what I've done to you? Don't you realize I, your Lord and Master, you call me Lord and Master, and you say good, for you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. And I've given you example that you should follow these things. Happy are you if you do what I tell you to do." James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. James teaches us in writing this to Jewish believers that just because they were Israelites and descendants of Abraham, this did not put them up and give them anything up on the rest of the Christians, even those who are uncircumcised heathen Gentiles. Verse 2 of that chapter refers to us all as brethren. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Gentile, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all brothers and sisters in the family of God. The family of God may have different roles to play in carrying out the Great Commission. There may be different members of the body and ministries and positions in the church. Paul talks about it. God set some in the church, apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, those who would help, those who had governments, those who had ministries, those who spoke in tongues, those who had gifts of healing, those who spoke with tongues and interpreted. All these went together to edify the body of Christ. All of us are still servants of Jesus Christ and gladly refer to ourselves as such. Don't you ever be ashamed to refer to yourself as a servant of God. I'm just glad he gave me a chance to get in the back door, aren't you? And he didn't even say you had to come in the back door. He said you can come in the front door. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You may not be an apostle like Peter and Paul, but you have obtained quote unquote like faith or equal precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All of us have gotten into the same family. All of us had drunk from the same cup. Now, not the same very cup, but the cup of Jesus Christ. All of us have drunk into the same spirit. All of us have been baptized into the same body. That's why we should be able to get along, because we're all born again by the same Lord. We're all saved by the same Jesus. We all have the same Bible. We all have the same spirit. We're servants of God. Jude has one chapter, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So we're sanctified, we're preserved, we're called, but we're servants. This verse reminds us that even though it is an humbling thing and honor to serve God, it is also a high, holy, and noble calling. You're servants of God. He said, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. I'm the brother of James. I'm writing to you, those who are sanctified, those who are preserved, those who have this calling of God. You say, well, I don't know what my calling is. All of us are called to be servants of God. That's what our calling is. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it, he signified it by his angel unto his servant John. There's servant mentioned at least two times in that verse alone. So whether you give to missions, support the children's home, help the homeless, needy, or poor, take up the offering, cut the grass, wash dishes, serve meals or tidy tables, clean the bathrooms, or change babies' diapers in the nursery, even if you only put in the widow's mite into the offering plate, or give a small cup of cold water to drink to someone in the name of Jesus. We all are servants of Jesus Christ. You may not have written 14 books like Paul did, or received gigantic revelations from God like John, but you can witness for Christ. You can pray a simple prayer of faith, of healing for the sick. You may never have an office or title attached to your name. Nobody may not even hardly know your name or remember what it is. But it is not our name which is important. It is only that name above all names, Jesus. His is the only name one must know to get to heaven. And we all are proud in the right way and more than privileged to be called and known as the servants of Jesus Christ. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. It's a wonderful thing to be able to serve God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to know him. Free pardon and forgiveness of sin. It's an humble thing to serve God, but also it's a mighty thing to be able to serve God. And I'm glad to be known as a musician. I'm glad to be known, honored to be called one of your pastors, but I'm glad that I'm a servant of God. By serving each other, we serve God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Zoom room today. Thank you for those who have joined us. Thank you, Lord, for those who are listening. We'll be listening by YouTube and by the blog and podcast page. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the message as it goes out to touch many people. Help us all to realize in America that we need to humble ourselves before God. And we need to serve Christ, not just to get a gift, not just to be recognized in the church or the bulletin, but we need to serve you. Even if we don't get anything, we need to serve you because you've loved us so much that you gave your life and shed your blood that we might be saved. You took that towel and you girded yourself and you washed our feet. You came and served us. You said the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Lord, you had every right to expect us to serve you. You could have come 5-star motel and you could have demanded service. And you have every right to do it because you're the King of Glory. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you stooped and you humbled yourself and you came to serve us. and help us to serve you every day, all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from God's Holy Word entitled Servants of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you serve God and know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You can serve Him the rest of your days. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.